Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There's a season that we're now entering into that many of us are simply not aware of. It is called Epiphany, and for us that seems such a strange word, epiphany. What does it mean? It is the divine gift of God that suddenly opens our eyes to the truth. You may experience a little bit of it physically when you walk into a darkened room and you turn on a light, and the light illuminates for you something that you had not seen before. At one of my favorite movies is Indiana Jones and the Great Crusade. Perhaps you've seen that movie. At the end of the movie, Sean Connery is asked, "Well, did you get anything?" And he says, "Oh, yes. I gained illumination." That's an epiphany. It's an illumination. Maybe you've had one recently. Suddenly you're caught up in the truth. Your eyes are open and you can see what you haven't seen before. You read something on the scripture and it just jumps out and says something deeper and richer than you've ever experienced before. You know who God is and what God wants from you. That's an epiphany. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We are in your presence. I know that you are here. You have heard us sing from our hearts. You have received the gift of praise and adoration. I know you are here. And Father, I ask now that you continue your illumination process, that you continue the epiphany in us, that we may see you for who you really are. We may know you in a deeper way. And we may experience what only you can give us. Father, we thank you and praise you. May everything we do and say bring glory to you. And Father, if there's anything I would say that is not in your perfect will, then cast it out. People did not come here to hear me mouth off. They did not come here to hear the wisdom that I may have. They have come to hear from you directly. And so, Father, I pray, as I pray every Sunday, as I pray every time we open your scripture, that you will cast my words out and that you yourself will speak to us by your Holy Spirit the words of truth, so that each of us may have a true epiphany today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us read a little bit of Isaiah. Isaiah, the last chapter in Isaiah 66, we'll go through first six verses. Thus says the Lord, "Heaven is my home, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as he who slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as he who breaks a dog's neck,
He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their diffusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren, who you hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Were your eyes open? Did you hear what God said? God doesn't seem to like men's religion, does he? He doesn't like it when we offer him something other than a broken and contrite heart. That is what he desires. Sounds like he doesn't care about your works at all. All the things you do to please him, it seems as though if you don't have a broken and contrite heart, he turns away from. Isaiah has an epiphany. God speaks the truth to Isaiah. And once he has imparted that truth, a responsibility comes upon Isaiah. A responsibility so great that it is almost more than he can contain, because a responsibility comes on him to tell the people what God has said. That is a very humbling task. God reveals the truth, and with that, he is looking forward not to your promises. You know, we probably made some promises we've already broken and called them New Year's resolutions. I know that I was watching television and they were talking about the New Year's resolutions they had already broken, about eating too much or indulging too much in things. God's not looking forward to your promises. He's not looking forward to your sacrifices or your offerings. Your religious activities are not acceptable to God. God wants you. You may say, well, what am I worth? That's what he wants. He wants your broken and contrite heart given freely to him. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. God is a God that wants you. He wants all of you. Every little bit. Every gray hair on your head. It's hard for me to look in the mirror and think that, but that's what he wants. He doesn't want you as you were. He wants you as you are. He wants you as you are today. And he is a jealous God. So when pursuing the goal of worshiping him, you have to abandon all of your religiosity, all of the customs that were so dear to your heart, that you love so much. You have to abandon if you really want God. If you really want God, you can't get him by formula. You can't get God by raising your hands in the air or sitting on them. You can't get God by being part of his frozen chosen or being part of his roly-polies. You can only receive God by seeking God in spirit and in truth. So when pursuing the goal of worshiping him, you have to abandon everything that holds you back, all of your religious customs, the things he says he hates. You have to abandon that. You have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, to illuminate you, to give you an epiphany. That is what we all must do. If you're going to understand
who God is and what God wants from you, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate for you who God truly is and you as His creation. He is the Creator. You are the creature. And the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and our ears to who Jesus is. That's one of the Holy Spirit's major purposes in life, is to point toward Jesus, to show you who Jesus is. If you're going to understand, if you're going to fully understand the prophets and the law, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law of the prophets, but I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled." Jesus came to fulfill the law, but unless the Holy Spirit guides you and gives you an illumination of that truth, you'll never understand it. Oh, there are men and women who study the Word of God all the time. They can tell you all kinds of minutiae about the Word of God. You realize that Satan can quote the Scripture verbatim. But the one thing they lack is the one thing that you must have, and that is the Holy Spirit's illumination of the Word, what the Word means to you, how it transforms you, how it changes you. The law is a tutor, but unless the tutor gets you under his wing and you listen to the tutor, you will no means understand. We went to see Catherine's first music teacher this past week. And Catherine was there, and her music teacher remembers her learning the piano and playing the flute and all the things that she did, and she became a great flutist. And she was a double major at the university in voice and flute. But the one thing helped the other, and what they both said to one another is that they said, "I remember the breath control that you taught me that transferred itself from the flute to the voice." Unless we have an illumination, that doesn't mean anything. I remember when I was an actor and was training, that one of the people who had a great influence on me was my voice coach. And she talked about breathing correctly. You have to breathe out and breathe in. Jesus breathed on you the breath of life. But unless you have the illumination, the epiphany that the Holy Spirit brings, you'll never understand that breathing on you, that breath of life. Holy Spirit must reveal it to you. You must have an epiphany. Not just one, but many. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus and said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, Paul shows that he has received an epiphany from God, because he says, "For it is the God who commandeth light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul had an epiphany. He had an epiphany on the way to Damascus. It knocked him off his horse. He lay there in the ground, blinded by the light that he saw and the sound of the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" He had an epiphany. But the epiphany continued. He had more than one. He understood because of the continuous illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul had an illumination of who Jesus was. It is through illumination that you understand that our judgments
and condemnations that truly belong to us were poured out on Jesus on the cross. That's the only way you understand it, unless you can see it through the eyes that are given to you by the Holy Spirit. You'll never understand it. That is why he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." He had come to fulfill the law. It is finished. It's done. It's completed. There is no other reason for me to hang here. It's done. It's finished. That's why we don't have to offer other sacrifices. Because Jesus offered His own Son as sacrifice for our sin. And we understand that through illumination. We don't have new laws, new things. The communion or Lord's Supper that we have is not a new thing. It is something that is there all along. It is there for us as a reminder of what Christ did for us. It is not a new law. There are no new laws. All the laws are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe, the old song says. And it's true. It's done. And it's necessary for our salvation and our forgiveness to place our faith in what was done at the cross. Jesus fulfills. Jesus fulfills. And Paul also had another epiphany in chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. For the law could, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is an epiphany in which we've begun to fulfill the law of God. He died to bring the law off the pages of the book, to make it live, to make put flesh on it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us for a purpose. His purpose was that He was fulfilling the law in our sight. But only the Holy Spirit can give you that knowledge. There are things we can't give to one another. You know, we've just gone through the season of giving. And oh my goodness, if I had $1 million, the things I could give you, you know, the things I could give my family. And boy, do they want them too, because they said, you know, if you only had $1 million, you could, you know. As a matter of fact, even our pianist last week, after having an opera singer sing happy birthday to him, he wanted $1 million. He still wants $1 million. What can you say? In your case, you're losing your voice, so you can't say a lot. And that's the reason I'm picking on you. The fact is that we, if we had it to give, we would give it, but there are things we can't give one another. We can't wrap it up in a pretty package. We cannot give each other forgiveness in the way God forgives. We cannot give each other faith. Faith is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I can't give you faith. I can encourage your faith. I can try to build your faith that's already there. I can try to channel your faith. I can do all kinds of things, but I cannot give you faith. That you must receive from God alone, because He's the only one who can give it. When I was a very young man, and yes, I was at one time a very young man, I was not born with this white beard. Believe it or not, I 10, 11 years old, I was a kid. I was a little boy. And during that time, I had an epiphany. When I was that old, I had an epiphany when I was 7. And I was walking down an aisle. Suddenly, my parents couldn't grab me quick enough to get me back in the
And I was walking down and offering myself to be baptized because I had an epiphany of who Jesus was. It wasn't something I knew. It was something I caught. Man, I was a very young man. We had just moved to Houston, Texas. And we had moved there, and it was in a big city, and I was going to a school. And my mother, suddenly in the summer, came down with great excruciating pain. And she had been misdiagnosed. They didn't realize she had bone cancer. And so she was taken off to MD Anderson Hospital. I didn't get to go. I was just a little boy. I was kept out of the loop. And so I had two younger sisters, and I had no one to share that with. Because every day the doctor said will be her last day. She's going to die today. And I was a little boy, and I certainly didn't want my mother to die. And I prayed every day that she would live, and she lived. That became the pattern for life. But I needed someone. I needed someone to play with. Somebody to just take my mind off my troubles, to give me a little bit of solace. I needed somebody, and there was a kid down the street that just perfectly fit the bill. He and I played football together and baseball together, and we rode our bikes and raced around the streets together. It was perfect. I had someone to share my fears and anxieties with. It was wonderful. And one day I went out on the street and he wasn't there. He wasn't any place around. And I went up and I knocked on his door, and he came out and he sat there on the stoop, and we sat together on the little porch, and he said, "My parents tell me we can't be friends anymore. I can't play with you anymore." He said, "You see, we're Catholics. We eat fish on Friday." And I stopped him. I said, "Well, my father has a fish market, two antique stores. He calls them tax write-offs. I don't know what they are, but I like fish. I like catching them. I can eat them anytime." Didn't seem to have any effect on him, except his face was still sad. And then he told me that there was hatred in the neighborhood because of who they were, and that had been painted on their garage in the back. Terrible things of hatred, anger. And they were going to move because they didn't feel part of the community anymore. And as he went in the door closed, tears ran down my face. Because I had lost a friend I needed. And I think tears ran down God's face too. Because no little boy should have to go through that kind of trauma all by himself. Not without anybody there to play with him, to look after him, to be his friend. But you see, I had an epiphany at that moment. I realized that the people that hated the Catholic people that I loved in that house, that had painted the bad things on their garage and made them want to move, I realized that there was no illumination for them. There was no epiphany. There wasn't anything that told them who God really was or what Jesus really said. When he said all believers should be one in him, I fell apart. But at that very moment when I had a broken and contrite heart, Jesus came to me. And he was closer than a brother. And he carried me through that summer. My mother got up and out of bed at MD Anderson and put on a car seat and went back teaching school. Her name was Mary. She taught at a school in Houston. And she wore this thing, and every summer after that, she went back to MD Anderson Hospital. And at the end of the summer, after having heard from the doctors every day she would die, she lived, she put on the car seat, went back and taught school at Edgewood Elementary. But Jesus sustained me. He became my friend. He was my Savior, my Lord. He was the healer. He was Jesus. That was an epiphany. That was an awakening, because I saw in a deeper way than I had ever seen before His love. I saw His forgiveness and His grace and His mercy. I saw it all. And I saw what He wanted me to do. And I ran away from it as long as I could, because He called me to witness to others what He had done to me and for me. And I ran as far as I could. That is an epiphany. Maybe you've had one. Maybe you have had a broken and contrite heart and have received the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you have. If you haven't, it's so simple. It's so easy. You just have to admit to God who you really are and ask Him to do what you can't do for yourself. Would you close your eyes for just a moment and just ask God to come into your heart and be your Lord, your Savior, your friend. Because I promise you that if you ask, you shall receive. And you shall receive the promise of God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We give You praise and glory for what You're doing right now. Around the world, as people watch us on internet and Roku and everywhere else, we thank You and praise You, because we have put our bread out on the water, and we know that it will not come back to us void or empty. Father, we thank You and praise You, and we ask that You will answer every prayer that's been offered here. That You will fill everybody with the glory that is Your Son Christ. Your Son Christ Jesus has come into our lives, and we celebrate that today. We ask that anyone who wants to may receive Your invitation, and we open it to everyone. We open it with wide open arms. Whosoever will may come. But they may come for any reason. They can come because they've had an illumination of who You really are for the first time. They can come because they want to turn their life back to You. They can come because they have a hurt in their heart or in their lives that only You can fix, for You are the true healer. They come because perhaps they've got no money or no place to lay their head, and You know them well, for Jesus had no place to lay His head. Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit now would come, and that we would see the fruit of that wonderful coming this very day. Father, we lay these things in Your lap and ask for Your guidance and Your direction. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.